Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Turn to your neighbor and say that God loves you. And I love you. From the bottom of my heart. Tell the person, I love you like a matan popo. And like seasonal banana.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We give you the glory. Thank you for your mercies upon our lives. Thank you for this church. Thank you for your people. Thank you for the love that you have for us. We give you the glory. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Let's be seated in the presence of the Lord. And I want to thank Pastor Johnny for allowing me to preach. I want to thank all the pastors, everybody, the keyboardists, Pastor James and Pastor Elvis.
Elvis.
Mrs. James, you are there. You are there. You know, let me tell you something about Mrs. James. One day, was very, very cold in New York.
My apartment was very, very cold
because the heat wasn't working.
I
was freezing. And then there was church service. This church service. So I began to watch. As I was watching and praying, then I saw myself smiling. And as I was smiling, I realized that the person I was looking at was smiling. And it was the smile that has affected me. And it was Mrs. James. And she was smiling. I said, ah, I like this one. And really inspired me. So from that time, I started liking Mrs. James. That's why when I come, I always call her name. Amen. So Mrs. James, keep the smile.
Amen.
You don't know what you are doing to somebody and for somebody. Amen.
Amen.
May the Lord... He said... Yeah, now I'm warm because of a smile. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God bless you, Mrs. Amen. James. And Lady Cardinal, God bless you. You are wearing nice red with nice red shoe. Matching. Oh, it's nice. Amen.
Amen.
The only thing missing is the solo that you promised me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, there's a man, or there was a man. I'm not going to sing that song, but the song ministered to me, so I wanted to share with you about that song. But Pastor has sung very powerful song, so thank you. Jesus is love.
Yes,
amen.
Amen.
But this man I'm going to talk about, his name was James Easter. I'm sure you've heard of the name. The
Easter
family. And they sang a song. The history behind the song was that the man was quite poor. And he was living in a shack. In America, if they say a shack, it's like, you know, like the one you have in the slums. You know, the two-bedroom behind the farm. And when it rains, he has to put, you know, bucket and all that. You think only it's only in Ghana that you put buckets. Somewhere in America, too, some people put buckets
to collect
rain. And he was quite poor. And he became a Christian. Then one day he was it started to rain, and then he was collecting the rain. Then he wrote a song. And he said that as the world looks upon me, as I struggle alone, they say I have nothing, but they are so wrong. In my heart, I'm rejoicing. Oh, how I wish they could see. And he said, thank you, Lord, for your blessing on me. How many have heard that song? Yeah. And he said, there's a roof up above me. I have a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. And you gave me your love, Lord, and the fine family. And he said, thank you, Lord, for your blessing on me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I believe that should be our story.
Amen.
No matter where you are and who you are,
there
is love of God for you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Bible story is about, it's a love story. From Genesis to Revelation, it's a love story. Hallelujah. Today is supposed to be Valentine's Day message.
And they will say, yeah, Valentine's Day.
So I will say some heavy things. The reason I will say everything is that, you see, Valentine's Day is one of the redefinitions that the enemy has given to the world.
If you say Valentine's Day, because
Valentine's Day, the man that we is named after Valentine's Day, was a holy man. What is happening? He was a holy man who preached the word of God. He preached the word of God so well that he was killed by the pagans in Rome. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
And because of that, he was elevated to sainthood. This is a man who preached to the point where he was killed by pagans. And even whilst he was being killed, he showed love to the people. And the kind of love that he showed to them was the God's kind of love. Unfortunately, after so many years, Valentine's Day has come to mean something else.
Valentine's Day is
a day where we distribute chocolates. And then now, they distribute free condoms. Oh, how many saw that they were distributing free condoms?
No more chicha pa yomo.
It's a day to distribute free condoms.
Da omo chicha
so that fornication can go on. In some places, the prostitutes reduce the price for their services.
Baby, oh, I'm saying omo omo jantra, no matter
so. They give discounts. Buy one get one free. And it's going on. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But that is not the case. It's the same as with Christmas. One day I will tell you about Christmas story. You see, Christmas, it is not the devil or the pagans who gave us Christmas Day.
The
25th was not calculated by pagans. It was stolen by pagans. Amen.
Amen.
But it was a Christian who calculated that day.
Amen.
He may be wrong, but it wasn't the pagan who calculated
it.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So what I'm trying to say is that the devil has made us to be fixated on sex on Valentine's Day. So when somebody invites somebody, a man invites a lady out on Valentine's Day, The main goal.
So,
you know. I shouldn't tell you. Amen. I should say it. Today I'm holy. Lady Cardinal says I should be holy, so today I'm holy. Amen.
Amen.
But look, You see, the devil is deceived us so much. And one of the things is that is to make sex look so simple and not effective. I mean, like, not strong enough. Sex has become something that we play with. And it's even entered the church. Where, you know, people sleep with people. Like it's like nothing at all. And people can go and do a washing and come to church the friends. Some of you are sitting here, you've gone to a washing. And you are here. Because to you it's nothing. It's one of those things. Amen.
Amen.
Can we talk about love without talking, without going through what love is? Amen. Love is not sex. I said, well, what? Love is not sex. When somebody says that he loves you, and you're a woman, and the man says that he loves you, and tells you that unless he has sex with you, it means that you, the woman, you don't love him. So tell him that love is not sex.
Because
if the man loves you, he will wait and marry you before he takes you to bed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now look, don't be too righteous.
Men
talking about sex. Because you yourself, you know.
So one can say, "Who did that?"
I don't know why people get so holy and so when sex is being talked about in church. But it is a serious matter that must be talked about in church. And sometimes we think that children are in the church, we shouldn't talk about sex. But the children today know more about sex than you.
Papa.
Oh, I'm serious. Look, if your child is about 5 years old and is watching cartoons, you better start teaching the child about sex. Because right now in cartoons, they have started putting, you know, pornography and LGBT, you know, the alphabet mafia people. They've already invaded and they have said that they are coming after our children. Look, that 18-year-old girl in counseling told the counselor that she has had more sex than her parents. And she wasn't joking. She was serious. 18-year-old girl. And she said she confessed she had had more sex than her parents. Can you imagine? And she was very serious. She eventually confessed that, I mean, the things that she was doing. You know, we better start educating our children about sex. When you go to America, the schools, they have put things in the books. Sometimes when you look at it, you cannot believe that this is being taught children. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But we all know about love, right? Okay, so what are the Greek words for love?
A Greek word.
Help me, ask for that one, you know. Give me one. Agape. Agape is what? The selfless, infinite love that is extended to everybody by God, right?
Sure.
Give me another one. Filio or philia. Filio is what? The affectionate love, friendship, the one without physical affection. Filio is without physical attraction. Amen. In filio, we have what is called platonic.
Filio,
or platonic. Which one is?
Platonic.
Depending on the school that you went.
Mm-hmm.
Platonic love. Amen.
Amen.
And which one do you know?
Eros.
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 But before Eros, we have other words too for Greek. In Greek, for love. One of the words for love is called Stoge.
Stoge.
S-T-O-R-G-E. Storge love.
Yes, Storge love.
Storge love is the one that family has.
It's
the family love. Amen.
Amen.
It's the one that is the protective love between family members, like the one that a mother has for her children. Are you getting it?
Amen.
We have other words, but I don't think, let me just mention them then, maybe later. There's one called Eurotoropia.
Eurotoropia.
Eurotoropia. Or the short word is Ludus. L-U-D-U-S. All right. Then there is pragma.
Pragma, so, so.
Pragma, that is enduring love. Then we have mania, or mania. So you have something like kleptomania. Something when you hear the word mania at the end, it's a kind of love. It's obsessive love. Amen.
Amen.
And then we have philotia.
Philotia.
Which is self-love.
So, wow.
Amen. But the eros is what we all know. And agape. But eros is what I'm zeroing in on. Because it's the one that is romantic. Passionate love. Love that arouses romantic and sexual feelings. So when you see a woman and then you have that kind of feeling for her, or you are a woman and you see a man, you have that kind of feeling for him. But because it's not only men who see women and their hormones rise up. Women also see men and their hormones all become some way. Is it not true? Women, help me out. It's true. When you, some women, hey, Lady Cardinal, when you saw your husband and he was in the church, I saw you the way you were looking at him all the time. You had eros love. I saw you. Don't stand here and say that, you know, I've known you for years. You see your husband and then you look at him in the way. I say, hey, this woman, women, paper. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 But let me tell you something about this erotic love. The highest weapon of hell is sex outside the covenant.
And they say,
it's sex outside marriage. It is the highest weapon. When a person engages in sex outside marriage covenant, he stops from having intimacy with God. You see, the moment you have sex before you marry, and you have sex, even when you marry and you have sex outside of marriage, it stops you from having a certain kind of intimacy with God. A certain kind of love that you have with God. Because what happens is that the devil attacks you with so much guilt. Are you understand what I'm saying? So you don't feel that you belong, you don't feel proper, you don't feel that no, you should. So you realize anytime you do that, going to God becomes a problem. And if you continue doing that, then you begin to have a reprobate mind. Where now you don't care. So you see somebody who is living a very sinful life, and yet the person can feel comfortable coming to church. Sometimes the person can feel comfortable coming to stand here and preach. Come to stand in the pulpit and preach. Some people get to the point where they can even prophesy. I know of a prophet who was told when he was growing up, he was coming up as a prophet. A mentor prophet told him that he should be able to prophesy in spite of doing certain things. In other words, he must be able to sleep with a woman and be able to come and prophesy. And the kind of mentorship that the old prophet was giving to the new prophet. So things are happening. Amen. So because you see, when if the person had continued, the person didn't do it, but if the person had continued, you realize that because he has a fear of God, initially, he will be having some kind of guilt and some stuff. But as he continued doing it, then he can now feel comfortable coming to, you know, prophesy and do a lot of things in spite of what he's doing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because you know what? The highest communication of intimacy that God would bring to the human experience. Do you hear me? The highest communication intimacy that God could bring to the human experience, the biological experience, is sex. Do you know that? The highest communication is when you say you are intimate with somebody. When you say you are intimate with a woman or a man, the thing is that you consummate the relationship. You consummate the marriage with sex. So even in a divorce case or in legal matters, if a man and woman get married and that sex does not happen, the marriage is null and void. Is it not so? You see, so the highest communication, what makes it real is the fact that there is that thing that happens. Amen.
Amen.
Because you see, in intimacy,
if you say it was saying go funny one,
that covenantal sex,
it was a apam and obani merry man
brings deeper knowledge.
The nimtie mu duru eba.
So the Bible describes when a married man has that kind of relationship with a woman. The Bible calls it knowing. So when Adam. The Bible says that, and Adam knew Eve. You see, and that is the word for sex there. So it is called knowing. When it is in the covenant, and it's done in the right way. But when it's not done in the right way, the Bible does not call it knowing. The Bible calls it laying. And so, when you read the Bible said that Judah lay with Tamar. Hallelujah. The Bible says that Ammon lay with his sister.
Now Ammon ni nuya ba nso e die.
When it is not a marriage situation,
senye aware de de a,
the Bible calls it laying.
Eye na keke.
Because it is outside the covenant.
If you say eni apam ni mu.
And you know why it is called laying?
Unde ntie frere na keke.
I believe that because it is not a legal transaction. When you sleep with a woman or a man that is not married to you, you lay a bit of yourself at the place that you sleep with a person. So what should lead to an intimacy with God has been laid somewhere. I don't know whether you are getting it. That's why it's called laying, because you see, God created us, you and me, to have a certain kind of intimacy with Him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that intimacy comes out of love.
The
love relationship that God wants us to have with Him. It is not just an ordinary kind of love, but a certain kind of intimate, you know, there's a certain kind of knowing that you can love somebody. Then you can also love somebody intimately. Hallelujah. A man and the wife, like Pastor James,
so also for James
and his wife, the way they know each other, it's not the same way that Pastor James knows Pastor Elvis.
Yes, so
it can never happen.
Intimacy.
The day it happens, we have to lay hands on Pastor James.
Oh, see, deliver him.
And deliver him. Amen.
Amen.
But it will never happen.
Yes, I said yes.
Amen. So there's a certain kind of Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, are you here with me?
Yeah, what happened?
Aha. Because you know what? I still want to say a little bit on this illegal sex matter.
So for person who didn't happen, so for two.
Because you know what? Let me just go that way tomorrow and then I will come to my main message. This one is just introduction. Amen.
Amen.
Because if you give, if you, oh, I can preach for 2 hours on love. But I won't do it. Because I'll have, I want to have mercy on you. Amen.
Amen.
But you see, an illegal sex is what lowers your state for the penetration of curses. Today I'm helping you. Those of you who just sleep around, you have no idea. Today is what? It's a deliverance day. Yeah. It's supposed to be Valentine's message. So you have to know a lot about what love and sex are, so that you don't get indulged in that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Illegal sex is what lowers your state. You see, when you get involved in illegal sex, it allows your state, your body, to be penetrated by curses. And I will give you, for those who know the Bible, the Balaam or Balaam story. In Numbers 25 and 26, there was a prophet called Balaam. And when the people of Israel were going, and they were going to pass through
Moab,
the Bible says that the king was afraid of Israel. So he engaged a prophet called
Balaam
to come and curse the people of Israel. But you see, anytime the man tried to curse, he ended up blessing the people,
the
Jews. So several times he tried. Then eventually, he told the king, he told him that, look, there is nothing you can do about it. But what you can do is that try and get your people, the women, to engage in sexual relationship with them. When you are able to do that,
so to me,
it will break a certain kind of hedge that they have. A certain kind of protection that they have. And when they did that, the Bible says in Numbers 26, go to 26 verse 1.
26:1.
And it came to pass after the plague that the Lord spoke unto Moses and unto Eleazar the son of Aaron, the priest, saying, take the sum of all the congregation. Go to verse the next verse. And Moses and Eleazar, the priest, spoke with them in the plains of Moab by Jordan. Actually, go to, I want the place where the curses, the things happened to them. And you will see that when they did it, a certain kind of plague. When you see a plague in the Bible, it means calamity. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And because of that calamity, because of the sex that they had with people who were not of the covenant, it allowed the penetration of curses into the camp of Israel. Are you getting my point?
Amen.
What I'm trying to let you understand, if you engage in illicit sex outside of a covenant, you open yourself up and the devil will attack. Hallelujah.
Amen.
A lot of the times we open the door for the enemy to attack us. And the truth of the matter is that, can we talk like grown-ups? Because one day I was talking to a brother who was trying to do that kind of thing. And I look at the brother and say, brother, let's be serious. Because this is your wife that you have. She's very nice. So why do you want to go to another one?
And
the truth of the matter is that it's the same hole. It's the same hole. Hole. It's not the same hole. You see, they are making me feel like I'm a sinner.
Aye. So for more.
Look, I'm saying like it is. At the end of the day, it's the same hole. Any other hole is an abomination. Any other hole is an abomination. Because one day we're having a serious discussion. And oh Lord, I can't see what I want to see. The way you are making your faces is like.
Send your money, money, move yourself for an
year. Can I shall go ahead? Okay, well, I have permission. So I can. The man was, we were talking.
Oni be manomo kasapa.
And this is a newlywed. And that man, the newlywed guy. Had come and he was bragging. Amongst us, he was bragging. Yeah, you know. And one of our friends who were in the meeting was a doctor. He asked the guy, "Are you sure that you were able to put in the right hole?" Because there are two holes. The one is right one. The other one is an exit. If you put in that hole, it's a sin against God. And we all started laughing. Because
if you say,
God has made it mandatory that it is only one hole you can put your stuff inside. The moment you go through the exit, it's an abomination. That is why it's not natural for a man to sleep with a man. You see, all I'm saying, I'm coming to a point. It is not natural for a man to sleep with a man.
Yes, obe man obe ma beda.
Because that hole there is not a natural hole.
If it's a sacrament, that one you can't money.
It's an exit.
Hey, baby, if a pee.
And when you go there, it brings a certain kind of curses. And that is why in the world now, you see, those countries who have become, they think they know so much and they have advanced. And they are promoting those things. Look at them now. Look at them.
Show them.
You think that they have advanced. You look at them.
Show me ye pa.
They say that if you think that you are civilized too much.
When
you see a goat, you begin to salute. That's what is happening to our people. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But today I want to talk to you about a certain kind of love. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
In 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. Give me the verse quickly because I don't have much time. I have like 8 minutes. I think even what I've shared now is enough. Yes. So next Valentine, don't be late. If you're not married, don't be late. Do you understand what it means to be late?
Uh-huh.
Don't be late. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us.
And
he said, God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. And God in him. Next verse. Herein is our love made perfect. So that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. He says that, God, say on the verse 17. He said that herein is our love made perfect. And he says that when your love is made perfect, you will have boldness in the day of judgment. The word judgment is to have boldness, is to have confidence.
And so
when you are making a judgment, when you are making a decision, when you have a problem,
so how be
or you made a mistake and you don't know about the love of God, you don't have the boldness to make a judgment that God loves you. What takes you away from God is the lack of conviction that He loves you. The only thing that will take you away is when you know that God can never forgive you for what you've done, because you don't think that you deserve God's love. And that is why so many people are running away from God. They know that there is a Savior called Jesus Christ, but a lot of them, they cannot bring themselves to receive that kind of love, because they think that they've seen so much. They think that they've done so many bad things in the world that they don't deserve this kind of love. But today I came to tell you that no matter who you are and no matter what you've done, there is a certain kind of love that God has for you. Amen.
Amen.
And I came to tell you, for those who have also accepted that love, that there's a certain kind of intimacy that you must also have with God. And what I'm talking about, intimacy with God, I'm not talking about the one that we tell people that they say, oh, worship God. Worship God.
Oh, sorry,
and then we tell people, oh, defe no.
So,
da no. Worship God. I mean, look, God is not inflated by ego. Do you hear what I said? It is not a worship that will make God
defeatious.
Yeah. I saw a video.
Video be.
And that video, there was a small boy, the two small boys.
Video be.
And they had lost some money. And one was praying. Then the other boy could have the hair. And Kasa, Minus and Dosu. Then the other one was with the Medadano. As if God doesn't know what you're saying. And that is what we do.
Sada so,
oh, worship God.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, Dadano, Defendefiano. Say something. Say something nice. So that his head will begin to be big. God is not inflated by
it.
Hallelujah. What God wants is a certain kind of intimacy. That you worship. You worship God because you love Him. A certain kind of relationship that you have with Him. So that even if He doesn't answer your prayers, you don't come to God with intimacy for answered prayers. So that He will give you a car. So that He will give you a husband. That is wrong intimacy. Amen. When you are intimate with God, it does not matter what happens. Oh, I don't have time to even show you. I was going to go the story of Jesus Christ. The perfect example of intimacy with God is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you have to go to the garden to really see the love. Do you know that when Adam fell, the relationship that God had with Adam, it was not a God and a man kind of relationship. It was a lover kind of relationship. That is why when Adam fell, God came in the garden. He was walking in the garden. He came and said,
Adam,
where are you? So we read the Bible there, and God said, Adam, where are you? God did not come and say, Adam, where are you? He said,
Adam,
where are you? He wasn't relating to Adam as God. He knew everything that happened. So he could have come to Adam and said, Adam, your head like coconut. why did you do that?
And then I call yes, sir.
But he came.
So by
Adam.
Oh, Domo Adam.
Where are you?
Oh, he found.
And then Adam said, I ate the. Who told you that? You are naked? It's a love story. Oh man, I wish I could have that. It's a that story of in the garden was a love story that if you come to understand, you let nothing stop you from loving God. Nothing will stop you from receiving the love.
The
man who had disobeyed God,
had broken
God's heart. Look, God was heartbroken. And broken heart only affects those who are in love.
Broken heart.
A broken heart. Oh. If you are not in love, you can't get broken heart. Oh, you know the story. You've been broken hearted before, eh? Because I can see that you have the Yara experience. God was broken hearted. I said, who told you?
So when I catch the war.
Oh, Adam. And then Adam said.
Adam said.
The woman.
Obano.
So he went to Eve.
Okay, Obano.
Eve. What have you done?
Then he
said, oh, the serpent. And if you should know.
So
you the story in the garden.
I'm
closing. I'm concluding. But I want to tell you the story. Small one. About the story in the garden.
Because
everything started in the garden. If we can understand the first 11 to 12 chapters of Genesis, you can understand everything in the Bible. If you can understand the first 11 to 12 chapters, you can understand whatever has happened in the Bible. Because you see, we think that the serpent, he just came to
Eve
and told her that, has God said? I mean, you think about it. It's a voice that I don't know, the voice cannot talk to me. Are you understanding it?
Sir.
The fact that Eve listened to the serpent. It means that there was conversation going on all the time. Because at that time, animals could talk. See, in the garden, a tiger and a lion were eating herbs. Everybody was eating herbs. You see, and the serpent was walking.
And he could talk.
That is why he could come to Eve. As God said, because anytime he will see that Eve will pass by that tree, you will eat the other trees. But look at that tree and then pass by. And as he was going, she was looking at the tree. And he was like, So the devil was lurking around. And he saw it. So he came into, he took the body of the serpent. And that's why when he came, Eve knew that voice. And the voice that she knew was the very voice that tried to take her away from the love of God. Sometimes the voice that we know, the people that we know, the familiar things and the familiar people, are the very people who take us away from
God.
Sometimes the very pastor you know is the one who is condemning you and telling you that what you've done, you cannot come to God. You have to fast 41 days and beat Jesus Christ by one day to prove that you are better before you can come to God. But I came to you today to let you know that you shouldn't allow any kind of voice to take you away from the love that God has for you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Don't be condemned. Don't allow condemnation. Because it is only condemnation that will take you away. And condemnation comes through voices. It comes through people who speak to you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you believe that God loves you?
Yes.
I want to leave you with one verse. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3.
Thessalonica.
Is this chapter 2 or chapter 3? In verse 5. 2 Thessalonians.
Thessalonica.
Chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 5. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Paul was writing to his people, and his prayer was that the Lord would direct their hearts. And I leave you with this verse, that the Lord will direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I want you to place your hand on your chest and say, may the Lord direct my heart into the love of God. From today, I receive the love of God. I receive the love of God. I believe and I know that God loves me. And because of this love,
and
I am bold in any decision that I make. In Jesus' name.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Maybe you are here and you have not received this love from God. The Bible says that greater love has no man.
Trust
that a man should lay down his life for his friends. Based on love.
You
have not received this love this afternoon or this morning. I want to give you the opportunity to give your heart and to receive this love. If you are here and you want to receive this love, I want you to just lift up your hand. I'll pray with you. You don't know Jesus as your Lord. You are also here, but you feel so condemned because of something that you've done, or because of guilt of something, and you don't feel loved. You don't think that God loves you. You are here. I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. Just lift up your hand. I will pray with you wherever you are. I won't let you come forward. Just lift up your hand, and I will pray with you wherever you are. You want to receive the love of God in your heart. You want to receive the love of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Father, thank you.
Jesus.
Thank you for your people. Thank you. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let the love of God,
amen,
penetrate their hearts.
Amen.
Let the love of God be something that they will be aware of every day,
amen,
of their lives.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you.
Jesus.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.